show. Yes, it's Friday. The weekend starts here. I got beer and I got four guests who are all damn Yankees, but the British Tech Network has to go somewhere, I suppose. I remember when the Empire was great. Joining me to discuss the week in Mac, brilliant panel. Making a welcome return without singe marks. Adam, how you doing, mate?
Those pictures last week, dude.
Those pictures that you put out on Twitter last week, mate. Holy hell.
Yeah, when there's 100-foot walls of fire less than 2 miles from your house, it's a little frightening.
Did you actually feel any heat off that?
No. It was hot here anyway. It was over 100 degrees just temperature-wise, which didn't help with the firefighting. What's the most amazing thing about that whole thing is the firefighters that we have here are so incredibly trained and used to handling this sort of stuff. I can drive over there now, and there's these, you know, multi-million dollar houses that are up on the hills that were on fire, and they just worked those flames around those. I don't know how they go right to the edge of those houses, and I think only a couple of them actually got lost, and it was a huge fire.
So they like control where they control the path.
Yeah. So most of the initial part of it was just, you know, making sure people and houses and property were safe, you know, because the winds were whipping up and they just, you know, couldn't get a handle on it. So their first priority is always to just protect everything. And how they do it, I don't know, but they just wound it through this canyon and it went kind of back, you know, and it was going one way in the morning and the other way, you know, in the evening. And that actually kind of helps too, because then it burns back on itself. You know, it took them several days to get it under control. And what was really frightening is you'd go to bed and it would look like it was out. And then you'd wake up in the morning and the winds would start up and you'd see it start flaring up again. So just kudos to those guys. I mean, they're just amazing technicians. And I mean, they've got to understand the science and the nature of all that stuff. And it's so chaotic. I just don't know how they do it. So that was amazing to watch.
I'm having listened to that and seen the pictures from last week, I'm awed that you actually sent me a text saying, I think I might be struggling to make it this week. And I got that. I said to these guys last week, Adam sent me a text at last minute saying he can't come. That's kind of not like him. And they went, oh, yeah, his house is probably nearly burning. So, like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, luckily the winds and everything, it stayed to the south and west of us. But, you know, we had neighbors that got evacuated, and I've been evacuated before. It's not fun, and it's scary, and you feel helpless because there's nothing you can do about it. You know, it's any natural disaster. And every place kind of has their own, and ours happens to be fire. You know, people say earthquakes in California, but those are so rare. The fires, we had huge ones, I think it was about 7 years ago. So every 5 to 10 years, we'll get these fire things.
Glad you're safe, mate. Next to him, Jeffrey Gamet, swapping over from Big Show to talk his specialty. Mac, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, and I'm glad I'm not in a fire zone, and I'm glad that your fire zone, Adam, is not as dangerous as it was.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Definitely. How's life in Boulder?
You know, it's all right. There's actually people here. We have running water and electricity, and as long as we don't end up with floods like we had last fall, which is actually what drove me out of the mountains and back down to Boulder, we'll be okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it just occurred to me. I live in a biblical apocalypse. I go from massive blizzards to being in the middle of crazy forest fires to being trapped in floods. And I think now all I need to have are toads and locust plagues.
The U.S. tourist board is going, no, don't tell them about the earthquakes. No, don't tell them about the floods. Oh, no, shit, the fires. Don't tell them about the fires.
Yeah, I'm probably going to get a phone call in a little while from the state of Colorado saying, you know, you're ruining tourism.
That explains why weed is legal there.
See?
Exactly.
That's the only way.
That's true. Our state could be quite literally completely on fire, and people would still come here just to get weed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Or just to breathe.
From the natural disaster that is Portland. That was a joke. I don't know anything about Portland. Kelly.
I love Portland.
The only natural disaster here is fashion sense.
Oh, Kansas and tornadoes, say the chat room.
That's basically
it. Ben in the chat room.
We had tornadoes the past couple of days. Lots of them.
Oh,
yes. Really weird.
Don't and forget the tornadoes, Toto.
Hail.
We had firenados. Those were cool.
Any sharks?
Oh, yeah, that's scary.
Sharknados.
Oh, I mean, this is a real thing.
Freaking like, sharks!
Yeah. A firenado.
Columns of fire in a tornado. Oh, no.
And then you got warm. those sharks off the coast with lasers, with freaking lasers. Sure.
Frickin lasers. We cut into Kelly's time.
Yeah, Kelly, are you all right?
Yeah, there's like no... The only weather situation here is that we've had some direct sunlight.
Whoa!
Which kind of freaks people out. That's pretty much it.
I'm burning.
Well, so much
tis
for
a pasty,
organs
pasty,
tourism
pasty,
business now.
Portland, Oregon.
It is, yes. Glad you're with us, Gil. Thank you.
You're safe from vampires, though.
And making her debut in her pajamas.
Yay.
But she's still got time to put makeup on. That's so wrong.
I have priorities.
Melissa, the back mommy, how you doing, missus?
All right. I am
One
up.
One must
well,
have priorities.
I'm up really.
Have you recovered from Macworld?
Still working on it, I think.
I still wake up every Friday and go, I want to be back at Macworld. I want to be back
at
Macworld.
It's like positive post-traumatic stress disorder, if that can be a thing.
I'll take it.
Still achy from all the walking and the hoofing it everywhere.
My liver's going, no, not yet.
It's almost worth it.
Excellent. We've had some reviews. Thank you to everyone who's written reviews. We've got quite a few this week. It's been really good.
Reviews?
Yeah, reviews. So start them off. First one from Siam says, he says, being a Mac geek, I'm so torn between this or the Mac Power Users as my favourite podcast, and I think the Mac Show has edged it. Get in
Ooh,
there.
Wow. Nice.
Ooh. I listen to it religiously every week on my drive to work, and I frequently burst out laughing behind the wheel, yet it isn't all about laughs. They dive into a lot of detail when it comes to the news stories of the week. Also, each guest has to deliver their cool tip at the end of the week, at the end of the show, and this keeps you listening to the very end. I love the British Tech Network shows, and I've subscribed to The Pocket Show, which I'm looking forward to. And if you haven't, The Pocket Show is a great format, because Paul Wheatley gets on an iOS user, a Mac or an Apple, a Windows phone user, and an Android user, and they all exchange knowledge and stories and stuff. And Adam, you've done that, haven't you?
Yeah,
it's Mac Pod.
It's a good podcast. It's well, really good format. Chris has also put in, British Tech Podcasts are a must subscription for every tech enthusiast and geek fanboy. The shows strike a good balance of mates in the pub and information, maybe. and the shows keep me company on my daily commute. Ewan hosts the show well and keeps the subjects moving once he's located Kelly's mute button, that is. And with a great panel, which includes Don McAllister, Jeff Gamet, Adam Christensen and Kelly, you get a global opinion of Apple News. Great to see and hear new guests and panellists and keep the old favourites coming back. Thank you, Ewan and Coke. Please keep up the good work. Cheers for that. Thank you, Chris. That's very kind. Very helpful for my studies. KBRPH 2004. Says in the US, I spent the first 23 years of my life in Brooklyn and Queens and the next 36 in Philadelphia. The Mac Show is a tremendous help in my studies for the test of English as a foreign language exam. Keep up the good work.
Oh, goodness.
We don't talk that differently in Colorado, do we?
Oh, mate, donut color. Oh, we starting off on that side.
Except you spell all those words wrong.
There's that.
No, we spell donuts correctly. You spell it wrong.
I was thinking like theater.
Color.
Yeah, but with theater with an ER is if it's like theater, isn't it? It's not RE. A place is a theater. Anyway, we'll go back to that. I'll get emails. Don't listen to that. I'll edit that bit out. Bruce the
it's
dog.
It's the
Rammer
Show.
Oh, God. Bruce the dog from the United Kingdom says, this is a great podcast, and I enjoy the mates in a pub vibe. However, I do have a couple of observations. Number one, where is Dr. Happy Mac? He used to keep the balance of guests from this side of the pond. DHM is still around. We keep getting tweets from him occasionally, but he went through a bit of a turmoil in the last sort of 12 months. But he's coming back, and he'll be on the show again soon. Fear not.
Oh, yay.
Two. Awesome. The whole sponsorship thing through Patreon was a right chew on. I didn't know how to spell it correctly, so it took me some time to find it. Then my bank card got frozen when I tried to pay it using the second time it detected as a fraudulent activity.
Oh, no.
And I made an error the first time. What a drama to get this fixed. I don't know if you got it fixed. I don't know if you subscribed, but if you did, thank you very much, for Bob, Bruce. Very
people
kind.
Don't like it when things go wrong with credit cards and money. No.
But I can't see that's my fault, really, to be honest.
No, it's not. It's not, but it doesn't matter.
He's given us five stars.
This is what I'm saying. Is exactly. I've been in e-commerce and dealt with this enough, you know, with PayPal and all the different systems. Mm-hmm. You know, when something goes south, people are not happy.
No.
And I don't blame them. I mean, it's frustrating.
Three.
We applaud your efforts.
There's a three. Why is Patreon donation thing paid in dollars? It's the British tech network. Well, I'm not Patreon, you see. That's the problem. So surely this should be in pounds. I can't do that. And finally...
Don't you get a better deal if you're paying in dollars? Isn't it cheaper?
Oh, at the moment, we're doing pretty well on the exchange rate. Yeah, it's not too bad at all.
Yeah.
And finally, four, I enjoy the guests and have discovered other great podcasts that I'll listen to regularly, but only after I've listened to the Max Show each week, clearly. Like that sentiment. Cheers, Bruce. If you'd like to leave us a review, then please go ahead and do it. Leave it in iTunes. We do appreciate them. They make a difference to our standing, and we'll read them all out. Doesn't matter whether they're good or they're bad. They all get read. Someone did leave a review on the photo show, and they put down it's one star, and they said, this podcast used to be great. I used to listen to it all the time, but they've stopped doing it now. Why didn't you give us a frigging review where we were doing it? Photo show will come back. I do promise that the photo show will come back. I'm just trying to figure out how to do it because at the moment I haven't got an awful lot of time and it takes about a day to prepare to do the show because I do it on my own. So so be patient with me. I promise I'm trying to get the photo show back.
This isn't your full-time job?
No, funny enough. No.
Huh, how about that?
The Week in Apple, what's going on? Well, Transcend have brought something out that's rather spooky, dandy and gorgeous and we'll have a look at that in a moment because it's really good. And also, apparently, Apple bought Beats because they wanted some people that were down with the kids in the company. That's all. And also, they've taken out Weed Firm from the App Store. Didn't see that one coming, did you? And I'm gutted, I have to say. That was Ellis's favourite game.
No. I think ooh, I figured apparently. Out why that's gone.
Yeah.
And it's not
because it's Weed Firm.
It's not. Why is it gone? Go on, tell us more.
It's gone because of some of the other elements that are in the game. And I wasn't aware of these until Dave Hamilton started telling me about what he was discovering when he was playing the game, which is the various characters in the game will try and find other ways to pay you for weed. And the strippers will offer to pay by stripping for you and then giving you blowjobs.
Oh, cool!
So
I hadn't got that
so
far.
Very much. Like
you may
real
think
life.
That for a game that you're playing, but maybe for a game that Ellis is playing, not so much.
Well, that answers a lot. That answers one of the questions that Ellis came out with last week, and I hadn't realised where it had come from. I thought it had come a bit out of left field, but now I know where it's come from. Then,
yeah, and it's and part of that is because that doesn't happen until later on in the game. This is the thing that Dave was saying is that. He was sort of excited to be ahead of his kid in any game that both of them were playing.
Oh, no.
And you should choose
oh,
that.
No.
Anyhow, continue.
And as he continued to play, he started getting propositioned by other characters in the game. Like, gosh, I'd really like to buy something from you, but I don't have any money. I wonder if there's any way that we could maybe work out some sort of trade. And so... Then he was dude. So the next day he was like, "Yeah, you're gonna take that off your phone."
Bad. So, oh no. The thing is, that's the hard part is the fact that you're the bad guy in the end because you're taking a game that they really enjoy. You go, you can't play it because of something that's coming up, and they're like, "What's coming up? What's coming up, Dan?"
Didn't tell you. And the review process didn't catch it because you have to play the game for quite a while before that happens.
Yeah.
Right. And
kind of reminds me of when you first get a Skype account and get a proposition.
Really? Really?
I'm kidding.
You got the word mommy in your name though, so I mean that maybe doesn't help.
I've got to stay ahead of the curve here.
The ones that I use for the BTN lines probably don't get much propositioning, I have to say.
Not so much.
Not so much.
But
no.
Yeah, as soon as the box gets ticked for I'm a girl.
Pachow.
Well, no, the funny thing is that, internet. You know, I work with clients, senior citizens, and it's come up a couple of times when, you know, I would show them how to use Skype and we'd have that embarrassing bonding moment of like, what, why am I getting these messages? And, you know, they'd very, very coyly try to show me what messages they were getting. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, we have to turn on the block setting under preferences here.
Yes.
And then there's my dad who just leaves them on because he's like,
yeah. Your dad rocks. Now, I just want to make it clear before anyone phones social services that Ellis didn't come to with the embarrassing questions and he didn't play Weed Farm. So I'm just, it's done purely for the purposes of entertainment. The Wicked Apple, what's gone on? Well, let's go back to the Transcend story because that was quite interesting. Transcend has introduced a new Jet Drive Lite expansion card designed to increase the storage capacity of the MacBook Air and MacBook Pro with Retina display. The cards provide 128 gig of additional storage for less than $100. And I've got to say, I'm looking at how they plug in, but my 15-inch Retina MacBook Pro has got an SD card slot, but my Air hasn't, so I'm guessing it's only the 13-inch Air that these work for. But, I mean, I've got to say, we looked at Transcend at the Mac show, at Macworld, and they're doing some really cool stuff at the moment. Did you go and interview them, Adam?
I didn't, only because I walked over there and they didn't seem very engaging.
Oh, really? That's surprising.
Like, it seemed like it would be a very boring interview.
I had some experience.
I asked them questions, and they were not. I don't think that was their forte.
Okay, well, there was a lady named Angela on there.
Did you get an interview with them?
Yeah, no, we went over and we spoke to a lady named Angela, and we spoke to another guy afterwards as well, who was a little bit more technically oriented than Angela was.
Yeah, maybe the right people weren't there at the time I walked over.
Yeah, no, but
you
did
booth
some
babes.
No, you don't need booth babes. I think the booth babes were a massive negative.
Babe.
You certainly could be, Melissa, yes. But it shouldn't be your aspiration, woman. The booth babes were a real bad one. And it was actually because the ones that were clearly booth babes, I kind of had no time for. But as soon as we went over there and started talking, the chat room just went off in, can I have her phone number? But then we went to a lady at Blue Microphones who was clearly extremely knowledgeable.
Hillary.
And we spoke to Hillary. Well, I spoke to her and I was asking the questions about the problems of like banging the table and suspension of the microphone and stuff like that. She came in at absolutely A1 answers. But all the chat room could do was, can I have a phone number? And it was a shame because Hillary was on the money. She knew exactly what she was talking about. She was spot on.
Oh, yeah. Hillary's amazing.
She was really good.
Yes.
But no, you don't want booth babes. Absolutely not. But no, Angela that was at Transcend was great because they've got that that little drive that you can exchange with your internal drive, can't you? Your SSD that fits, and then they give you another enclosure with it so that you can put in that into the enclosure and plug it in, and you've got an extra external drive then,
which is cool.
Thank you.
So, what is this called? It's the jump drive.
Jet drive, yeah, that's it. And it goes in your SD card slot, but it gives you an extra 128 gig of storage. And it's under $100, which I think's on the price, that's not bad. Because that's 60 quid, 65 quid. You'll pay 40 quid over here in a store for a 32 gig thumb drive. But we get ripped off on that stuff.
But there's another. Who is it that does that too?
They were what rips you off?
And it's a color.
It's a sled so that you can put in an SD camera card and use it as storage.
It's the Nifty Drive. That's what it's called.
Yes, okay. Nifty Drive.
And how much is that though for what amount of storage? Oh, here we go. Adam's got one.
I got two because the first one was defective.
Well, the first one looked like it was built in 1953.
Now, the problem was is where they had it takes a little micro SD card in the back, and where they had the slot, it would go in too far, and so when you put it in, it would think that the disc was locked, because how it has that little slider switch on the SD card to lock it. It went in too far, and so the Mac would detect it, and it would see the card, but it would think it was right locked, which was no good.
No.
So they had to do a little redesign.
Okay, but they do micro SD cards. It's not just a straight SD card.
Yeah, you got to slide a little. There's a little slot in here, and then there's a little, I don't know if I can pull it out. There we go. One of those little.
Oh, micro SD. Yeah.
Yeah, a little micro SD, so you can expand it to whatever size you can currently get. The little adapter, I want to say, was about $70, something like that.
I can't remember. That sounds about right.
Yeah, they're a UK company.
It's $40 for the thing, and then they throw in a 2 gig micro SD card for free. If you want to go up to 64 gig, they'll sell you one for $56.
There you go.
So that's the scoop on that one.
Martin in the chat room is disappointed at the lack of booth dudes that were available at Macworld.
Fair enough.
And Ben says that he's going to get in touch with Transcend because he likes those drives. They look awesome. Can you get a homosexual or transsexual SD card as well as the straight ones? So it's Batwedge.
Oh, Batwedge.
You can, but why ask? Just assume that the card is exactly what you want.
Yeah, it doesn't make them any less cards just because they're not straight cards. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more. All right, that story didn't last long then. iMessage.
I'm trying to be so good, but you guys are making it so hard.
You got to watch me.
I don't give a shit. I can do this show on my own if I need to.
It's one of the reasons I love her, but you got to watch Melissa.
Why? What'd she do in her pajamas?
Watch and wait.
Oh, okay. Moving on. Apple's.
It's really early.
What's my safe word, Melissa?
Popcorn.
Popcorn, right, okay. Apple's iMessage delivery problems have worsened, apparently. I didn't know they were that bad because I don't use iMessage that much, but there was another story about iMessage saying that there was a class action, wasn't there, that was brought against phone switching iMessage things. Yeah. So people that went from iPhone to Android were pissed off that they could no longer get their iMessages, which there's a certain part of me is like, well, Jesus Christ, what did you expect? But there's another point as well that I don't get iMessages from two of my customers now who used to send me iMessages quite a lot, and it pisses them off that they can't contact me through iMessage anymore. So there's a bit of me would really, really love a Windows Phone 8 iMessage application.
No, but that's not what the problem here is.
No, I know, but it's crapped out as well, hasn't it? That's the trouble.
Well, the problem here is if they had your iMessage before, right? So say you had an iPhone and they could send you iMessages and they have your iMessage info, including the iMessage being attached to your phone number, right? Mm-hmm. So they can send an iMessage to your phone. You would get it as an iMessage instead of a standard SMS text. Well, now you switch your phone. You move away from the iPhone, and now you're on a Windows phone. You're on an Android phone. So you can't get an iMessage, obviously, but you can get an SMS on with your phone number. They would send you an iMessage on their end or an SMS. It would tell them that the message was sent and that you received it, but you never get it because it's still trying to go through Apple's system. So when it tries to jump over to the SMS system, which you could get, mm-hmm. you're not receiving it.
No, right. I don't get those anymore. So,
and I think that's the issue is that my phone will tell me that I've sent a message successfully to Ewan, but Ewan never gets it.
But no, but isn't the issue the fact that the Apple system doesn't send to your phone number anymore? Once it's got an association, it just sends to your .Mac account or your .me account or your registered Apple ID.
No, it's still sending to the phone number. The problem is mm-hmm. that your phone number is still associated with iMessage, even though you've left the Apple ecosystem and platform.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it doesn't. The iMessage servers don't let go of your phone number, and so like people who are sending to an email address are going to have. Are going to get a different result than people who are trying to send. So if you try to use iMessage to send me a message and then I switch to Android, your phone doesn't know that unless I turn off iMessage before conversion.
Before you switch, yeah.
But even then, it doesn't always work.
But even that's an iffy, proposition at best.
Jacked up.
Yeah.
It's really bad. The only problem I have with the class action side of things is, you know, they're going to go in and argue, well, I was sending text messages and they never got it. And my business relies on being able to message reliably. Right. I mean, that's going to be the mm-hmm. angle they're going to spin it at. And it's like, pick up the damn phone. If you don't get a response to the text, even though it said it went through, wouldn't you pick up the phone and go, wow, well, man, Ewan's just not answering my texts anymore. 5 days later.
Any other way that people get contacted? I mean,
it like, depends.
You know,
on
if
it.
I send Adam half a dozen text messages and I never get a reply, at some point, aren't I going to send him an email or call him or next
be
time
like,
I see him in person,
why aren't you
be like,
to
dude,
me?
Why are you ignoring me?
Yeah. Well, you say that, but actually, I mean, there are customers out there that they just see you as being the person that they call upon and you respond. And if you don't respond, okay, I'll get someone else to respond. I'm in a pretty cutthroat market doing photo and video. So if they thought for 1 second, you know, and you've got friendly relationships with customers, but you haven't got, they're not your friends. And I'm lucky that I've got two that have found out that they can't get in touch with me, and they've got in touch and said, these aren't going through, are they? And we're like, no, I'm not on that phone anymore.
Well, there's a couple I know that wouldn't. It's common sense, though. Come on.
No, there's a couple of customers I know would try and contact me, and if I didn't reply, they'd go, you know what? Stop it.
Well, if your customer, but also as a business owner, if my customers stop contacting me for some reason, I'm going to shoot an email and follow up and just say, hey, I'm still here. You know, is anything going wrong? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, I do ring them up occasionally, but I don't.
Right? You're like, why, you know, we were doing a lot of business. Why are you suddenly gone? You're going to want to ask at least, right? Hey, did I do anything wrong? Is there something else I can do? I'm still here.
That makes sense.
Like, I don't know.
The big problem that I see with this isn't so much that businesses may not be getting messages or relationships may be on the rocks because an I love you note didn't get through or whatever.
Right.
It's that this has apparently been a problem for a couple of years.
Yes.
And Apple's been aware of it and hasn't done anything about it until now.
Yeah. And they're even saying they don't know. There's rumors that they just don't know what to do. They don't know how to fix it, which is just baffling to me.
Which was compounded by the iMessage, whatever server it is they have on their end, being down earlier this week, I think it was. So even when people are trying to troubleshoot iMessage, you know, you call Apple and you get a hold of them and you tell them you're having trouble with iMessage. They had some server that they were able to go and use for troubleshooting, and that wasn't working either. So even if you had an issue and called them about it instead of filing a lawsuit, they still weren't able to help you for a few days. And that's rough, too.
Not great. Chat rooms off. Bookery says, do sailors and pirates use II messaging? iMessage server, they can't quit you. Can you send a Candygram instead?
Yes, but only
for land sharks.
But they do send it to your MacBook and your iPhone and your iPad Air and iPad and that kind of stuff.
Since we're on an Apple messaging thing, I'm starting a campaign that everybody who has an iPhone and can needs to start using FaceTime audio, which is incredible.
Well,
my God, it is.
Really?
Mm.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the call sound quality is head and shoulders above doing a regular cell phone call, and you won't use your minutes. Not that that matters, because we all have like gazillion talk minutes, but yeah.
Just okay.
Use that little button when you call somebody instead of a cell phone call. Just try it, and you'll be hooked. I'm calling everybody that way.
I've got to say that the audio on the Windows phone to Windows phone is brilliant. That's high def. But I used FaceTime the other week off my iPad, and it is extremely good quality. Lovely. I did sign up as well to try and get us all to do the Mac show via FaceTime, which I thought would be
super. I was wondering when somebody was going to try that. I think that would be an interesting experiment. I don't know how you do audio, but
here's the interesting experiment where it falls flat on its face. Is that FaceTime doesn't let you use it unless there's a camera connected.
Really?
Yeah, I can't. I've got FaceTime on all the machines, and I've started it up, and the only one that will run is line 4 because that's a laptop. But it then wants to take a picture of the office, which you get a picture of a blank wall, which is on the opposite side here. But the other ones that have got FaceTime on, when I start them up, it says no camera is connected, and that's it. It just won't let you go any further. Because I would love to do this.
Interesting.
Because could you just get a bunch of really cheap, like $5 USB
monoprice webcams? Surely you've got a few in a drawer.
I could get the webcams and just point them at each other.
Right.
There you go. Yeah.
And then Melissa would get a picture of someone else's webcam.
You just gotta fool the Mac into thinking it has a camera, right? Because you're not going to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I'll take a chopstick and tape it to the top and put a postcard at the end.
Oh, yeah. I could put like a security camera thing on the end of a chopstick.
Draw a different face on each postcard.
Smiley.
Oh, there you go. Get Jeff to draw a face for each postcard.
Yeah, I'll wait till you're on the show. I'll take a picture of you and you'll get a picture of yourself back forever. I'll have a go at that. I've got a couple of spare webcams now, so I'll link them up one day, and we'll have a go next, because we're not going to do a Mac show next week, I don't think, but the week after we'll have a go at doing the whole thing via FaceTime and see if it works.
That'd be awesome.
Because I don't know if Skype.
Totally down for that.
Well, I think Skype.
Very and fun.
Okay, right. So
let me know when you want to play.
Okay. Is that back to the Skype issue of me? No. Okay. Right. She'll get that later. We'll do that. We'll cut Loic's time. We'll do a whole Mac show using nothing but FaceTime and no Skype and see whether it's any better quality or whether it's shit. Because I have my suspicions it could be shit.
Because it could go either way. It could be really bad.
I would share your suspicion.
I think it might go terribly wrong. There we go.
I can't wait to see how this turns out.
Well, you'll be on the show, Jeff, so there's no way I'm leaving you off that one.
Fair enough.
No way. I work for Cloud Update with interactive charts, improved collaborative capabilities, and all that kind of stuff. And I've got to say, I saw that heading and I just switched off because I was like, where's the frigging iWork applications that I paid for that were really, really good, and then you change them into something that was bolt and crappy and bloody awful? And I just get angrier and angrier that Pages, Numbers, and Keynote aren't what they were.
I want my freaking mail merge back.
Yeah.
I don't care if nobody uses it, but I want to use it sometimes.
Yeah. I think we should start a protest march.
That was a really weird feature to take out. I understand why they did, because you can't do it on an iPad. But
you should be able to.
You should be able to. I agree.
Is it pissing anyone else off? Because I've got to say, the fact that we've gone backwards in those three applications and the fact that they charge me for them drives me frigging mad.
I was one of the things that's
really
going to
upset me
back.
Is when one of my clients gets a new MacBook Air in about a week, and what are they going to do? They're going to have to rebuy iWork. I have a feeling because
really?
They only have the
old ones, the 09.
I thought you got an upgrade.
It's free.
You have that version.
Yeah,
they'll get the new versions for free.
Okay, it'll come in installed already. Okay.
Yeah, it's bundled in.
Oh, I don't
know
if it's pre-installed, but it is free.
No, you have to download
it. I think
what
happens when you do your initial setup, it brings up a dialogue that says, hey, here's these great apps that you can have for free. Want me to download them for you? And you click, yeah. And then it loads up iWork.
Yeah, it'll ask you which apps you want to download. Like
now, when they made the apps free, I was thinking it was only for iOS. So it's for OS X too.
Yeah, you get GarageBand and you get all of those as well as...
Now, I don't remember what the setup process looks like on that, but I will tell you that if you have the DVD and you install the DVD and then you go to the App Store, it'll say, hey, let me get a little upgrade for you.
Mm-hmm.
So at worst, what will happen is they will have to install from the DVD onto the new machine or use the Migraine Assistant to get the stuff off the old computer to the new computer. And then once they do that, then it will give them the upgrade. And here's the other thing about the upgrade is it will leave the previous versions in place on your Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you just say the Migraine Assistant?
Yeah.
I did indeed.
I love
she also said, she also said
I take offense at that.
I've only used Migraine once and it worked fine, so.
I had to use it a bunch when I was in the corporate IT trenches, which is why I call it Migraine Assistant.
It's a cheap shot, Kelly.
Well, I used it a lot, and it sucked.
All right, mate.
Maybe it's gotten better in Mavericks, but it used to...
If you were in IT, why weren't you using like a cloning system?
Right.
Because I was building the cloning system, because nobody else thought that it would be a good idea to do. They were all using the Migraine Assistant, because this is the way it's always been done. So,
Migraine Assistant is for... Oh, now you got me doing it. Migration Assistant is for consumers. Not great.
I want all the features that I had in... I mean, there's a lot of features that I had in iWork 08 that aren't in the current versions. And that
you know, kind of annoys me. This is Apple's new thing, though, is, you know, they have to every once in a while burn everything to the ground and rebuild. And we saw them do this with, you know, iMovie, which, remember, everybody, when they took iMovie HD away, it was like the world was ending. And then same thing with Final Cut.
And gnashing of teeth and rending of garments. Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, they've moved pretty quickly in improving iWork. And I think it's going to get better and better and more of those features are going to come back. But sometimes, you know, I think they just reach a point where, like, the code, and actually I applaud them because more companies need to do this, Microsoft. And just start over. Sometimes you just got to start from scratch and kind of rebuild everything in the new vision. So, and that takes time. So,
and it's a scary thing because they can lose customers.
Oh, certainly.
In the process, but
and there's still people using OS 9 because there was some vital to their life or to their business application that never got updated to OS 10. So they've still got some computer in the corner that's running 9.2.2 or whatever
for
it was.
FileMaker.
Yeah, for FileMaker or for FileMaker server or whatever it was. There's still people out there, and that was like 10 years ago. Well, no.
Schools. I can attest to that.
12 or 13 years ago now. And it's just the way it goes sometimes. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, Apple tends to be as accommodating as they can be about the transition. So like, at first, the only way you could, you know, the new version of the operating system didn't ship with a classic layer, but if you had it, you could keep it. And then you had all that time to get upgraded before finally it broke altogether. And they tend to do it sort of that way. So I like that they try to make it suck as little as possible.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, if you don't want that, guess what? We have Office too.
Oh,
and the new Office. Oh, the new Office apps on the iPad are great. I mean, from what I've played around with them, I'm not going to switch over. But I mean, I think they did a nice job with those apps, better than what they did on the Surface, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, truly.
Yeah, it's surprising how much better it is on the iPad.
And what's really impressive to me is that it is very much a Microsoft product, but it is very much iPad software.
Yeah.
And
is there
that
any
intersection
reason why you would use iPad Word on iPad over Pages on iPad? What compelling
reason
would that
be? Inertia. It's familiarity. Yeah, a lot of people haven't spent the last 15 years using Pages. Well, nobody's spent 15 years using Pages. It may feel like it sometimes, but that would be the biggest thing is, or, you know, to fit in with whatever the workflow is that you're using now, because there's a few big features. I know you can open Word files in Pages, but there's a few things that when you do them in Word, they either don't work in Pages or they break if you open it in Pages.
I'm going to guess change tracking. I don't use that feature, but I'm assuming that's in Word or iOS.
Here's a little thing that Microsoft hasn't made a big deal out of, but it's out there. Office 365 for the iPhone is fully functional even if you don't have an account. So you can open, view, and edit your Word, Keynote, or no, your Word, Excel, and PowerPoint files with the iPhone version without paying for an Office 365 account.
But not the iPad version, just the iPhone.
Not the iPad version, correct.
Right.
Because they figure if you're going to strain on that small of a screen, they might as well give it to you for free. Yeah.
Well, and people who are going to do that are only using it for an occasional edit, and it's another one of these fundamental shifts in Microsoft thinking where it's better to have it. It's better for somebody to be an occasional customer than no customer at all.
I gotta say, it just drives me absolutely crazy, for lack of a better word, because kids are around. When I'm working with clients and they have to have Word open and running just because they want to copy and paste some text or something from a text file. Meanwhile, it's like drawing on system resources and then we have to wait for the spinning beach ball. I'm like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Text edit, please.
Yes.
Yeah. And if people are using, if you're using .doc files, not .docx files, on a Mac, you can open a .doc in text edit. There's a lot of things text edit will do for you.
Oh, yeah. I've actually had to rescue my husband, who was on a PC, on an HP running Windows at his school, because a student sent him a .docx file, and he couldn't open it on his Windows machine. So he had to email it to me at home and say, so I opened it up in Pages, converted it, and emailed it back.
Those, and keep in mind, those people that are using Office for just text edits are probably the same people that use butter knives to unscrew things.
Oh, geez, steady on. Don't slag off the butter knife, mate.
It's right tool for the right job, right? I mean, that's the thing. And so many people don't use the right tool for the right job.
I'm much more sophisticated than that. I use a damn paperclip.
Chat rooms is making some comments here, not least of which is Paul Shadwell saying Microsoft is starting to be very interesting again. I'm starting to think I need a Surface Pro 3.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far, but okay.
Well, no, you see, you got to be
drink at Macworld.
No, you see, now I've had a bit of a set to with Alison the last couple of days over some comments that I made on a photo show about the iPhone that she listened to, and one of the things that I said was, you've got to be open. You've got to be open to other platforms. And I've got to say, I had a go with the Surface 2 and the other week, and I really was impressed. I thought it was really pleasant as an experience. I thought it was,
and
there was
my
nothing wrong with
the Surface 2 was nothing but pain.
Well,
I was so frustrated trying to use one.
Yeah, but is that because you're trying to run it like a Mac, or is that because you're trying to run it like a PC? Because I never had any
with
issues.
A Microsoft engineer, and they couldn't figure out how to get the thing to work.
What were you trying to do on it?
We're finally like, give up.
I don't know.
So, yeah.
I think part of the issue that I had with the Surface was that Windows 8 is enough of a leap that it was really, that on top of being a different interaction with Windows, it's also a way different version of Windows. And it was really hard to try to get there from here. And I have another friend who has a Windows 8 machine he just got with, it's one of those little MacBook Air-ish sort of laptops from HP, but the screen is a touch screen, but it also has a keyboard. So sometimes you're up here and sometimes you're down here, and it's the most weird kind of mishmash of here's how you try to do stuff. Like, I got to the desktop on accident, and he went, oh, my God, how did you do that? I can't figure out how to get there.
No,
so, like, for me, I think it was just a twofold issue. But
yeah, but, I mean, again, to be fair, if I'm going to make the argument that, you know, Apple has to burn everything down and start over with their apps from time to time, and people go through the pain point of having to relearn those, you know, Windows is kind of in that phase now, too, right? They've picked a direction, and this is the direction we're going with touch and desktop, and people are going to have to kind of relearn the new paradigm. So there's certainly a learning curve, I would imagine, you know, even for a Windows user moving to a Surface tablet. So, you know, I felt all those same things you guys are saying when I tried out the Surface, and it was the same thing. We were in a Microsoft store, and even the salesperson in the Microsoft store sort of struggled with the device, which was odd, and we made fun of and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, I think in the long run, if you have to spend more than a couple hours, probably even with a Surface tablet before you can make a full, informed decision about it. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not saying I'm going to do that because I'm not interested.
There's also something to be said for the fact that, you know, your devices work perfectly when they're in your hand and you're, you know, on your own. And then the moment you go to show something or demonstrate it, it all just falls to crap. And it was working 5 minutes ago, and now it's not.
Well, that was part of my problem was my friend is also new to Windows 8. And I was like, how do you this? I don't know. How do you that? Yeah. I don't know.
There's just a certain mindset. I encounter a lot of times people who I can tell just by watching them for a few minutes when they hire me for the first time, say, and I go on that first house call and I sit down with them, I can just tell in my mind, oh, you were a Windows user, weren't you? Because they approach it differently. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I absolutely do. I'm married to a Windows user, so I totally get it. Yes.
Oh, blimey, he wouldn't like those arguments. Jesus.
Although, looking at Windows 8, he is sort of having that moment. Who was it? Was it Chris Perillo that sat his dad down in front of Windows 8? and said, and I'm trying to remember exactly how he said it because it was great. Like, did you do this to make me want to switch to Mac because it's working or something like that? Like, that was like, are they trying to get me to switch to Mac because it's working? Something like that. But like, the more Mr. Kelly looks at Windows 8, the more attractive a new Mac becomes.
I've heard that said from a lot of people.
Yeah, see, I mean, 8.1 is a significant difference from 8. I think it's almost like they're two separate operating systems.
But it doesn't take away the whole Metro thing, though, which I think is what's throwing most classic Windows users off.
Yeah, but that's why is that's there no like, love like for
Windows
saying.
7, though? Because, I mean, when that came out, my husband brought home a ThinkPad, and I sat down to it, and I thought, oh, this doesn't actually give me a lot of agita. I think I could handle this.
Yeah, it's solid.
I think that the problem that I see from a lot of Mac users is you know, I give Alison a hard time, but you can't deny that she's a passionate Mac user. She is unfairly passionate about Mac, I would say, to a certain degree. And I think there's a lot of people sit down to Windows devices and they do it on the premise that they're Mac fans before they even start. And I've got to say, I try very, very hard to sit down with things and use them based on their own merits.
Right.
And that's why I swapped over to Windows Phone, because it is a significantly better user experience, I think, in the interface. And it is a significantly better camera than any other camera that's out there on a cell phone. It rivals my 6D now that it's got DNG on it. So I've looked at that objectively, and I feel I'm better off for having been objective about it. I sat down with a Surface 2 a few weeks ago, and I looked at it, and it wasn't a horrible experience. I didn't feel alienated. Batwinch in the chat room said, well, hang on, you've got a Windows phone, so maybe that's eased you into it, if you like. And I don't think the interfaces were that similar, but okay, at least I'm into the idea of the Metro Tiles type look. But I thought it was a very passable experience, and if you were into Windows 8, you would get on very well with that. It wouldn't be a problem. And the one thing I will say is, if you're going to come to the bash, I can guarantee that Alan Howshall's going to be there. Batwin should be there, Alan Howshall will be there, and Helen will be there. And Alan is a major proponent of Windows machines, and he is very good with them as well as. And he sat down with Will with the original Surface last year, and the challenge was, Will, you've got to create a doc with an image in it and email it to me before we finish the next 10-minute segment during the Mac show. And sat there with Alan. He did that and sent it over, and it came through. And at the end of it, when we asked Greeny what it was like, he said, actually, that was really quite a good experience. And I think it was a really good experience because you got Alan there saying, okay, well, that's where that is, and that's where that is, and that's where that is. But that's standard interface issues. That goes on in every platform, no matter what you're talking about. So I think once you can, if you sit down objectively and you get past that, well, I don't know where this is. Well, okay, it's over here. Oh, all right, I got you. But once you know where things are, I don't think it's a bad experience in the slightest. Not at all.
I always say it's whatever makes you happy. It has to make sense. What I always say to my clients when they kind of look at me and ask me a question about, well, what should I do here? I ask them first, what makes sense to you? It has to make sense to you. Because when I leave here, I don't want you to be confused. It has to make sense to you.
Yeah. No, good point. Excellent point. A good discussion. I really enjoyed that one. Intel has said that there is going to be Broadwell chips, guarantees Broadwell chips, by Christmas. Didn't say which Christmas, admittedly.
Oh, that's a good point.
Clever Intel.
Originally expected to launch in Q3 2014. They said that they'll definitely be there by the Christmas period. Now, the thing is, the Broadwell chip issue I find quite interesting because they are looking at the issue from their own corporation's viewpoint. And it doesn't matter to them. They don't give a stuff about when they announce stuff. They just want to say it's here and it's not here and it's coming. But when you look at sales of computers, I'm sitting here looking at this year, potentially, I'm going to need a new MacBook Pro. So I'll wait till after WDC, because that's WDC is when there's usually a traditional upgrade, isn't it? That kind of period. So I won't do anything until after June. And now I'm sitting looking at this story thinking, well, I've only got to wait another 4 months, 5 months, and I'm getting a Broadwell chip in it as opposed to a Haswell chip. And there's a bit of me, and I know there's the old analogy about, you know, well, if you're waiting for the next upgrade, you'll always be waiting for the next upgrade. But I mean, a Haswell chip has probably got a lifespan of about 18 months. The Broadwell chip will have a lifespan of 18 months. So if I'm in at the cutting edge of the Broadwell end, I've got a longer period of use with it, is the way I'm seeing it. I expand my longevity of my computer at that point. So, I think this is quite negative for Apple in terms of people waiting and not buying the new computers that they announced at WWDC, if they are going to announce any, of course.
They typically
don't. I think a lot of the typical Mac buyers, they're not paying attention to what Intel says. They're just watching Apple's product cycles, and when they see the new Mac model come out, they buy.
How much does it really matter these days, though, too, in terms of the chipsets? I guess it's more the core thing than it is the processor speed sort of thing. And even more so, I think it's more what's the integrated GPU that they're bundling in there now, right? Like the actual CPU, we've kind of reached a point for most users. I'm not talking about power users, people on the real high end, but I'm talking about, you know, your average consumer customer, which is the customer that Apple's targeting. I don't know that it matters all that much. People, you know, email me all the time and they say, you know, should I get the 2.7 or the 2.9 or the i5 or the i7? And for most people, it doesn't make that much of a difference, I don't think.
It depends a little bit. Like just yesterday, I just sold a brand new MacBook Air, one of the ones that was just released. And when they were asking me, like, well, we were kind of looking on the chart and comparing the different specs. And what was important to them was knowing that they're into longevity. I mean, they're upgrading from an old iMac G5. I mean, they've had it for years. And so longevity is what matters. So they wanted basically the latest and greatest. And then it came down to RAM, and I said, let's go for the 8 gig. Because right now, you're going to be blown away no matter what you get. You could get, you know, just the next model up before the one was released. You're going to be blown away. But it's going to matter.
I could give them one of my Intel Mac Minis.
They're the type of user that hangs on to their stuff for a long, long time. That's where I think it matters.
If they're going from a G4 iMac, mate, I could give them G5 iMac. I could give them an Intel Mac Mini.
The hair dryers.
They'd be blown away.
The one that makes the hair dryer noise. That's what they're upgrading from.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is, like, I don't get that excited about new processor chipsets. Like, you know, is this year's i7 or next year's i7 or, you know, what have you? I think for most customers, that's not going to make that big a difference. More things like, does it have a larger SSD? Does it have more RAM? You know, these sorts of things. Does it have a better GPU? These things are the things that I think are making more of a day-to-day difference in terms of the perceived performance and speed of the system, more so than the CPU. I think we've kind of got the CPU's kind of gone the way of the whole megahertz myth thing again.
They've settled down. It used to be, you know, if you bought a 300 megahertz chip a year later, it could be a 500 megahertz chip. And when that's all the power that you're talking about, that's a whole lot of difference. And that was like a year, maybe even less, you know, sometimes between dramatic jumps in what could be done with a processor, whether it was power management or fundamental speed or multi-threading or whatever it was. So I think we've kind of reached the point. We've also reached the point where, for, again, by and large, for most people, whatever, you know, any computer that you walk into a store and buy off a shelf today, regardless of the OS it's running, is going to do a pretty decent job of responding to what you tell it, of loading web pages, of playing solitaire, of, you know, looking at Facebook, whatever. So I think that's part of where the megahertz myth stuff and the megapixel myth stuff has kind of gone away, is because of those things.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we've got, the chat room's gone off on one on chocolate chips for some reason. Thanks to Kelly.
I know, stop it!
And Bookery says, how many cores do chocolate chips have?
Either 2, 4, or 6.
Does it matter?
That covered it. Yeah, definitely.
Well, oh, I just want to make a comment. You should wait for the Shadwell chipset. So I said the Shadwell chipset is chocolate chips, and now we've gone off.
We sit down and watch movies most nights. Me and the wife are real movie files, love them to bits. And I bought some chocolate chip cookies from Tesco. Tesco's own premium chocolate chip cookies, right?
Okay.
They had coconut in. Who the friggin' hell puts coconut in a chocolate chip cookie?
That's criminal.
I bit one and I ate a mouthful of it, and I can't stand coconut. I hate coconut and stuff.
Me too.
Desiccated coconut in my mouth, and I want to puke. And
let's start a fan club. yeah. or anti fan club.
And anti coconut fan club. The ACU.
I'm in.
That's it. Yeah. Anyway, so I got it. I was like, no, that's got coconut in it. And she went, no, it's a chocolate cookie. Don't be stupid. And I looked at the packet, and sure on the back it says coconut. Who the bloody hell puts coconut in a chocolate chip cookie? Tesco.
Apparently Tesco.
You are off the wall, mate. You are absolutely well out of it. So there you go. Anyway, that's the rant over with. Going back to chipsets, there's a good point in the chat room that waiting for the chipset would be good because of battery life. That would probably be a significant benefit of sticking around. And if you're buying a laptop...
Touting, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But also, I'm running the Hackintosh here. The Hackintosh does the initial broadcast stuff to then Don's Mac Pro that's under there that does the transmission stuff. And the motherboard on the old one was knackered, so I had to get a new motherboard, and that meant me getting a new chip. And I thought, well, I'll get a new Haswell chip. And I got the Core i7 Haswell chip. And the difference between the Core i7 and the Core i7 Haswell chip was massive. In terms of performance, it was massive.
And is that a core thing, or is that a processor thing?
Well, one's called one and one's called the other. That's the extent of my technical knowledge. But I know that the Haswell came after the basic Core i7 chip, and I can see a difference.
Two cores and one's four cores. You know, that's what I'm getting at. Is I think what more happens now is if your chip, your i7, is now going to have six cores instead of four cores, that's going to make a bigger difference than, you know, a bump up in a couple megahertz of, you know, processor cycles. But again, then the software also has to be optimized to take advantage of those cores. But I think more and more these days, most software that's coming out is supporting multi-threading and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And the final word on that story goes to Ben in the chat room. He says, Tesco, stay the hell out of North America with coconut and chocolate chip cookies.
Well, they tried. Was it them who tried to come over here with the Fresh and Easy brand or whatever it was? And I think they're shutting them all down.
Yeah,
well, they are?
If they came over with coconut in their products,
fresh.
No wonder.
Bastards.
Or they're selling them. I think they couldn't make it work. I think they declared bankruptcy, it didn't financially go well for them.
The last kind of story thing that we got before I get onto my rant story that I've kept to one side is that Apple released 10.9.3 yesterday, and there was an iTunes update, but it also gave you a user folder back, apparently.
Yay.
Woo! Excellent.
I waited to upgrade, so I never had the problem, luckily.
The story...
And actually, it was only a problem, right, Jeff? Sorry, Jeff, it was only a problem if you were using Find My Mac, right?
Yes. You would install iTunes 11.2, and if you had Find My Mac active on your computer, then your user folder would become invisible, and permissions would open up so anyone could get into it. The big problem for most people with that was actually that a lot of applications that look to your user directory for files didn't know it was there anymore, and they wouldn't work right, or they wouldn't work at all. So then the next day, Apple releases iTunes 11.2.1 to fix that problem, which is really weird, because why would an audio application be doing something at that level of the system? And then why would you use another update to the same application to correct a system-level problem?
Yeah, I already don't like that iTunes did something to my system. And the only way to fix it is to let iTunes do something else.
Yeah, no, that's not good.
Not good at all.
Not good at all. One story I want to run about, I've just posted the link in the chat room so you guys can click on it and see what it was. But it was a story that was in The Independent this week that they've polled some customers in the high street that they've just generally stopped, 1,200 odd of them, and said, right, who are your top 10 companies for customer service? And Apple didn't return in the top 10 answers. But... The journalist who then went right on to write the story, I'm just going to try and find his name, Simon Reed, then says that the Apple giant, the rotten Apple, British public loses faith with tech giant's retail arm. And he goes on later to say that actually when he's been in the store, he gets really great service. And that's not what the survey was about. The survey was about people saying who they thought had the best customer service, and Apple just didn't return in the top 10. Percent or the top 10 of the list. And I thought that was the worst piece of journalism. I mean, I'm the first person to criticize Apple if I think they've objectively done something wrong. But that is the worst piece of journalism. It's the worst title I've ever seen of an article in my entire life. Well done, Simon. You're at the top of my list for crap journalists now. That was really, really bad. I was disappointed. Yeah, I like the Independent. Man.
I like Can we just upgrade him to an air quote journalist?
Oh, I really like the Independent. The Independent is a good paper, and I would definitely take the Independent if I took newspapers at all. But that was a crap story. That was really, really badly done all round. I thought it was horrific. And I one of the things that I tweeted out was I went into I had a small issue with Sharon's MacBook, our old one that we've given to Bryony to use. So it's a black MacBook. It's as old as it gets, as far as those are concerned, and the Intels are concerned, and so. The guy there looks at it and he goes, I think it's an issue with the OS. Let's reinstall the OS. And he said, but I can't take it in because it's a vintage Mac. And what do you mean vintage Mac? Well, it's of an age where we'll sit and mess with it as much as you like at the Genius Bar, but we can't take it in for a repair. We won't fix it because we've got no spare parts or anything for it. So, you know, if it's crapped out, it's crapped out. That's the end of it. You'll have to go and find someone else. Right, that's fine. That's fair enough. And he has a mess around. He reinstalls the OS on it, and it's fine. And we walk away. So we've been in the store for the best part of an hour. He's fixed my Mac Mini, which has got a fault on the memory, which is crucial memory, not even Apple memory. And he identifies that, and then says, "Where's the problem?" and reinstalls the OS for me on the chip that works. And he's fixed Sharon's MacBook. And I walk out an hour and a half later with two fixed computers that were knackered when I came in, and not a penny has been charged to me. Not one. From the start.
Yep.
So then I'm talking to one of the other geniuses that I know, and I said to him about my my prototype Mac SE that I've got. Really rare, really nice, and I really would love the original OS on it, System 3. And he says, oh, I've got a copy of System 3. He said, book it in a Genius Bar appointment, bring it in, and I'll bring the System 3 stuff in and I can install it for you. Really? Yeah. He said, just book it in as normal and tell me that you're coming in to do it, and I'll make sure that I'm the person that does it and we'll sort it. And it won't cost me anything. No, it won't. So there you go. Apple will support two computers that are vintage computers. One of them is so far vintage that it, yeah. So I'm sorry, Simon, but you're talking out your ass, mate.
And for Apple people, that vintage designation is actually the official designation Apple gives to computers. They have like I think it goes retired and then vintage, is that right?
I think so.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So I didn't realize that. I didn't know it was an official cutoff.
So there's like
old and
older. I thought
they used legacy for one terminology. Or is that even older than vintage?
Maybe legacy. Maybe it's legacy instead of retired. Or maybe that's just software. But I know that's one that they used to use for things.
Yeah. If you use Mac Tracker, it'll tell you. You can see which computers are vintage and which are retired or legacy or whatever. Yeah. I can't remember all the terminology.
And Mac Tracker is a wonderful app.
It is.
I can't imagine not having it.
Yeah.
Oh, truly.
No, I agree.
I do want to point out that part of the reason that Ewan is able to do this is because Ewan went into the Apple store and said, and was nice and probably said please and thank you and didn't demand that they fix Sharon's computer and was a really nice guy.
No, it's because I'm a celebrity, love.
Well, the geniuses I know have always said, like, as long as you're nice about it, they do have a lot of power to do things for you. You know, as long as, you know, the genius has a certain amount of power themselves that they are able to do for you. So sometimes there's just nothing they can do for you, and that sucks. But sometimes they can totally help you, like with the Black Book and being able to you know, come in and install System 3 for you. Like, that's something that person is basically doing out of the goodness of their heart and not because of any sort of, like,
yeah, it's not Apple's copy of System 3.
So, yeah. So it's it tends to be a thing where you can get it's so dumb that this is a thing that needs pointing out, but there's a certain amount to be said for how far you can get if all you do is be decent to somebody on the other side of the Genius Bar.
The strange thing about this that's happened recently, and I'm hoping it's changing now that they've got Angela Arendt in there, but through different leaders of Apple's retail, the key to all that working is Apple giving and Apple management giving those employees the freedom to kind of make those calls. And throughout the whole retail thing, I've seen it where Apple's tightened those restrictions and loosened them, and they kind of go back and forth. And they seem to also fluctuate from store to store. So there is some variance in the experience that people get in different places, I've discovered as I get feedback on this. And hopefully Apple will, you know, kind of go back to the more lenient and give their employees the freedom to kind of make better judgment calls. Be good, basically. You know, make the customer experience the best customer experience that you can. And that's sort of your job, right? You're the point of contact with our consumers, and you're going to sort of set the tone for the Apple retail experience. And they have to recognize that. And they've had different leaders who haven't recognized that. And that's when things kind of go bad, and you start hearing people say, "Oh, Apple's, you know, giving bad support, or they're not listening, or whatever it might be." So
not only the in-store experience, but also the phone service as well, because that's usually what I deal with when I need to take it up a level. Because the store that's closest to me, I call it a boutique store. It's very small. It's kind of not staffed as well as it could be. And it takes a long time to get things back. And so I kind of have given up on as far as service is concerned. But I like to use what I call the limousine service, where basically I can call up and I already tell them, because I know they're going to walk me through the triage process, and I tell them all the things that I've tried, and yep, it's clearly, you know, a dead hard drive or whatever, and if it's under warranty, and they send the box out to the house, and a good-looking FedEx guy comes and brings it to the door, and I package it up and call them and say, come pick it up and send it out, and I get it back like within 2 days later, and I've always had a fantastic experience with that. That's the way that I choose. That's the way that I roll, because I just get better results that way. Plus, I can be kind of homebound at times, depending on my situation. So it gets a little difficult to pack up the kids and go take them out to the store and all that kind of stuff. So
I've got to
it
say,
works for me.
I think your kids are being fantastic, mate. I've heard a little squealer in the background, but they've done brilliant so far. Kudos to them. Absolutely. No, that's fine. The other thing is, speaking to this guy, because he knows I've got a Hackintosh, and I said, I think I've got a problem with the OS. And I said, what about if I brought it in? And he said, well, I get paid to maintain Apple products, and that includes the OS. I said, well, even if it's on a Hackintosh, he said, I support the OS.
Wow.
Good lad.
That's really.
I don't know how
he said it like that was the official line.
Store, but well, sorry.
Right, I agree with Adam. I think it kind of depends on where you are.
Yeah,
but there's plenty of resources.
I would argue it's not their OS because it's been hacked for the EFI, hasn't it? So I mean, it's
there may be Apple stores that would. So.
Well, the other thing that I'm thinking at the moment, I don't know how Apple are about other people using the OS on Hackintoshes anymore, because the last update had a core update to it for security and stuff. And I thought, I'll just see if it worked. And I put it on, and it updated the Hackintosh with absolutely no crippling of the EFI. So I don't know whether they've kind of just walked away from that. Do you know what? Have it. Because it's free now anyway. I don't know. But it didn't cripple it, and I thought it would, so... That's
not probably in their best interest, because I think a lot of retention and stickiness has to do with the ecosystem. So if you want to play in the ecosystem on a different computer, then just like jailbreaking too. I mean, they don't really care much about that much anymore either.
No, absolutely. These guys need to finish off, so we'll have to go to the cool thing. I'll do the sponsors ad after the cool thing. And I'll re-edit it afterwards. Adam, have you got a cool thing for us?
Well, the one cool thing I was going to do, I realized I don't think is available in the UK. So have I done Leo's Fortune on here, the game Leo's Fortune?
No.
Did I make that a pick one time?
No.
So... there is a great game called Leo's Fortune that is just a blast. It's kind of like a side scroller sort of thing, puzzly kind of thing, where you're this little furry guy with a mustache. He's kind of like a fuzzball hipster. Probably a hipster fry guy, if you remember the McDonald's fry guys. That's probably the best description of Leo.
Oh my God, I forgot about those.
He's had his gold stolen, and he's on this little quest to figure out who took his gold. And it's a super fun game. It is gorgeous in terms of the graphics. So I'll make that my pick. I think it was like $4.99 I think it's iPad. I don't know if they have it on iPhone or not. Don't remember. But I played it on the iPad, and it is just great. It's a ton of fun. not super challenging, you know, but a lot of just fun, puzzly kind of stuff. So
excellent.
Ooh, I like those.
The Bash is here. Yes, the Bash is coming. It's the 11th and 12th of July. If you would like to come along, you're more than welcome. The 11th is the curry night. So what happens on the curry night? Well, basically we go to the best curry house in the entire world called the Kismet, which is just over the road from where I live. And I'll be going there after this show tonight. And we're going to get a curry. If you'd like to come to that, we've got a limit on the spaces. I think we only got 80 spots available to us. We're going to get the whole of the function room. At 5 o'clock, there'll be beers on the bar, and there'll be a starters there to pick at and munch through. And then we'll sit down for a main course afterwards. All you need to do is buy a curry ticket, which is £10. Now, that £10 is a deposit, and that'll come off your bill at the end of it, okay? So if you get one of those, it's you'll get your £10 back at the end of the night. Don't worry about it. If you want to come to the Bash is the following day, and you'll have got absolutely blathered at the curry, probably. So you've got a nice big lawn with a nice village hall in the middle of leafy England to lay out in and get yourself recovered. So the Bash is £25. Now then, what do you get for that £25? It's not a festival where I'm laying on something and you're paying a ticket and, you know, you sit back and go, come on, entertain me. There's going to be loads of entertainment there. There's going to be loads of fun and games. We had loads of board games and stuff for the kids last year. There was a Space Hopper challenge that was brought up by Aaron Claydon, and it was absolutely wonderful. We've got no sponsor this year, which is why it's a little bit more than last year. If we do get a sponsor, I'll give you the £5 difference back, but all you're doing effectively is chipping in your end of the hire of the hall, all the food and all the drinks that will be drunk. So please get your tickets sooner rather than later, because come the 11th of June I've got to say yay or nay to the venue, and if I don't have enough people then I'm going to say no. I think we're going to have enough based on the ticket sales we've had in the first couple of weeks, so we should be all right. But please don't leave it. Please get it in early, and just let's make sure that we can all have fun on that day. It's £25 for adults each, and under 16s come in free of charge, and all their food and all their drinks free as well, because they'll only be on J2Os or something. 11th and 12th of July, make sure you get yourself there, because it'll be absolutely fantastic. An absolutely wonderful day shall be had, I promise you. Jeff, what do you have for us as a cool thing, mate?
My cool thing is an app, a new version of an app that just came out, and it's OmniFocus 2. Did I just steal your pick, Kelly?
I figured you would, but yeah.
Well, it can be a joint pick. Redone interface that's more like the interface on the iPhone and the iPad, and much easier to stay on top of the tasks that you've put into the app, and it is just flat out beautiful. For an organization app, it's just beautiful, and I'm very excited about it. Very happy, and it's more affordable if you don't need all the features. So for like $40, you can get the standard version, which does pretty much anything you would want. But then for $80, you get the pro version, and that has more organizational views. And I believe that's the version that has AppleScript support. And
yes.
There's a few other differences. But for a lot of people, the $40 version will do everything they need. And it synchronizes with OmniFocus on your iPhone and your iPad. It's an awesome thing. And then I will stop talking about it there, so there's more for Kelly to talk about.
No, Kelly has to find something else.
No, I have a related
not the way it
pick.
Works. No,
it's
okay. Ben in the chat room says, what happened to ladies first? Yeah, stuff that. They want equality.
as soon as there are ladies on the show, I'm sure they'll get to go first.
Glad you said that.
Good point.
Jeez. The other thing that we've got then is the Network Union. The Network Union are the people who look after us. They are the people that give us the pipes that come into the BTN towers here and bring the live shows to you every Friday. And they'll be helping out the Northern Studio when that gets up and going in a few weeks. Please check them out if you've got a business broadband service. So I keep looking where I think the camera is, and it's not. It's over there. Bloody hell. If you've got a BT broadband service, then these are the people for you. You get in touch with them. They'll help you make sure that the BT broadband service you're getting is the right one, that you're getting all the facilities from it that you should and all the functionality from it. You'll still have your relationship direct with BT, but the layer of support that you get from the network union will make all the difference. It doesn't matter whether you've got that or not, though, because actually these guys have got massive experience with WAN and LAN systems as well. So get tucked in with them and find out what they can offer to support you with your local area stuff or your wide area stuff, and they will be able to support you there too. So get in touch with them. I'm not the one to ask. I'm just a numpty. I'm a photographer. But they're the people that are really into this stuff. So give them a call. Send an email from our sponsors link, and they'll keep that email just for the purpose of getting in contact with you. And when they have done that, your email will be deleted. You won't get any spam or anything like that from them. But they're well worth a call. Just see what they can offer to you. And hopefully you'll take some service from them, because they're absolutely fantastic. And they're supporting the Patreon draw. And our Patreon draw is looking rather, rather good for next month. We've got quite a few people. We're up to £400. We've only done 2 months' worth of Patreon stuff. So thank you to everyone who's donated. Please, please, please donate. If you like the shows that we do, if you just think, well, okay, you're only worth $1 a month, then give us $1 a month. That's fine. 60p for all the shows that we provide. And we've got 6 regular shows that are going out on the network each week. So please support us, and we'll do our best to keep churning them out. If you can, and you can get new people in, or if you can up your subscriptions, then that's fantastic. But if you have done it already, then that's wonderful of you. Ian Reed, not Ian Reed, I can't remember his name. Ian won the backpack last month for the Patreon draw. This month we've got the fantastic MacPaw software giving away 3 versions of Clean My Mac 2, and they're also giving out a Hyder 2 as well as. And what I've also got is the iPad Air cover that was created by a chap named Ian Lewis. And Ian is a fantastic landscape photographer in my estimation, and he's made this wonderful cover for us. It's not unique because he's got one, but it's going to be unique for you, if you like. There will only be 2 in the world, so it's well worth having. And if you've got an iPad Air, then write to me and say, I'd really fancy winning that. And if you've got a few of you that really have got iPad Airs and you want it, then I'll do that as a separate draw. Away from the main draw. But there's going to be 3 lots of prizes to give out ordinarily anyway, and that as well as. So please support us in Patreon. It makes a huge difference for us. Patreon, just for the benefit of Bruce the Dog, is patreon.com/British Tech Network. Thank you ever so much. Love the new set. Looks way more professional. Thanks, Paul. I do appreciate that, mate. Go on then, Kelly. What's your pick?
No, I've heard Melissa. Melissa has told me jokes. I know better than... I know better. So my pick is a related pick to Jeff's, and that is one of the things that came out as part of the OmniFocus 2 release was this website that they have built called Inside OmniFocus. So it's inside.omnifocus.com. And what they've done is talked to some really super smart people who do all kinds of amazing stuff in the world. And they talked to them about how they use OmniFocus, what the tips and tricks are that they use. And they've got some really cool links to some of the ways that people are able to integrate OmniFocus into other things. Like if you set it up within OmniFocus, I know that this isn't the Mac version that was just released, but you can set up OmniFocus on iOS, on your iPhone or your iPad, to sync a specific reminders, you know, iOS reminders. You can sync a specific reminders list to OmniFocus, which means then you can enter to-dos with Siri into OmniFocus, which is awesome. Mm. And Don McAllister has a free episode of Screencasts Online. All about the new version of OmniFocus.
We love
that. You can always go listen to... The most important thing here is that you can listen to Don McAllister talk to you. But the
really?
Slightly,
is he on your moist list? Is that what you're saying, Kel?
For free. I just like to listen to English people. That's the whole reason I signed up to do this show all those years ago when Chris Forsman said, hey, do you want to hang out on the British Tech Network? And I said, of course I do, because accents.
Based on the big show the other week, you don't like listening to British people.
No, I don't like to listen to you be wrong. That doesn't mean I don't like to listen to your accent.
There's a difference.
And
yeah,
once again,
but
you've
forced me to listen to you talking out your ass, mate.
How much easier the world is when you just do what I say. Anyway.
like that's going to happen. Moving on.
The site is great. It talks about AppleScript. It talks about how you can use if this, then that, to jigger things and make magic happen within OmniFocus. It's really great. How you can use stuff on iOS like Drafts and Launch Center Pro, and how you can do really cool stuff with getting everything into OmniFocus. And those are the parts that I really enjoy. So my pick is inside OmniFocus because I really like how approachable they're making everything on top of, like Jeff was saying, that there's two flavors of it now. So if you had a previous version, you can get direct from them instead of through the App Store. You can get one of the new versions for half the price. So if all you really need is the basic bones of OmniFocus and you have a version already that you got from them, you can upgrade for $20 US.
Excellent. And the other people to check out, UK2. They're absolutely brilliant. They pick up all our bandwidth. They give us a £400 server every month that deals with all the problems that we've got of getting the content to you and storing it. Every show, we've got unlimited bandwidth and unlimited storage. Every show we've ever produced is on that server. You can go back and back and back and back through the podcast entries, and you can listen to everything we've ever produced. It doesn't matter how far you go back. Give it a go. Try it out. You'll love them. If you want web stuff, domain names, co-location services, VPS, VPN, all that kind of thing, then these are the people for you. And you get an absolutely massive discount because we've got loads of offer codes on our sponsors page as well as. So check them out. UKT are brilliant. We couldn't do the podcast without them. Really appreciate them. Melissa, what do you have for us?
I have another, because I am crazy calendar lady. So I am crushing on Calendars 5 lately. Have you guys heard of this? It was actually free just not that very long ago. So I was like, oh, I'll download it. It's a calendar. Yay, shiny. Mm-hmm.
That's Riedel. That's Riedel's app, it. Right?
Yes.
And it is really
Riedel
nice.
Makes good stuff.
They really do.
I love all the different color blocks, and I like the different views. I love the sounds that it makes when you can set the reminders. It has like a nice gong bell and very yoga-like kind of stuff to it. Like Ben was saying in the chat room, I had been using Fantastical too. Sorry, guys. I still love it. Don't get me wrong. But mm-hmm. this is the one that I'm crushing on right now because I like seeing all the different colored bubbles, and I like the blocks, the color blocks. You can see that in Fantastical too if you turn it sideways, but this one you don't have to. So that was one of the things that won me over. And it's got really cool sounds to it too. I really like being able, kind of a ASMR audio file kind of, I like being able to hear different sounds. So
very cool.
That's my pick. I put a link in the chat room.
Thank you, Mrs. Jollygood. Excellent. Thank you very much. My cool thing is the Intensity card. It's Intensity Pro from Blackmagic. It's my cool thing with a couple of caveats, I have to say. Thanks to Paul Chatterers. He's helped me get this set up with the Hackintosh so that it'll run the camera opposite there that works. But it's a good card. It's great. It's £119, I think it was. So it's not the end of the world in terms of the cost. But if you can get one of these and you can get it to work instantly, then you're a luckier man than me. The one thing I will say, and Paul's backed this up with me, if it doesn't work, you have no friggin' idea why it's not working. And when you look at the video formats that you have to go through, you have to effectively sit and check one out on display on system preferences and then check one out on the system preferences on the other software. And you have to go backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards till you get the one that works. And it's a pain in the arse. When it does work, it's brilliant. It's truly, truly brilliant. It's well worth the money by a long stroke. But when you can't get it to work, it's a huge pain in the arse. But there you go.
I guess I'm supposed to hang up now.
Yeah, you can hang up if you want, or just do a mute. That'd be great. But
all right, bye.
Whatever. I'll have to put footage in. So they've blown where they can get a hold of you. Melissa, do you need to go, mate?
I'm cool. I mean, the kids have kind of crept in, but they're occupied.
Stick around, mate. It'd be just you and me. We can have one of those Skype calls afterwards.
This is what they're doing now. They're
oh, lovely. Chilling.
Don't mind the laundry. You know,
they've behaved brilliantly. Well done to them. Yeah. Absolutely well
Don't
done.
Don't jinx
to them.
It now.
Oh, no, it's good in them. Melissa, where can we get a hold of you, girl?
Oh, it's pretty easy. Just go to themacmommy.com. I'm the Mac Mommy on Twitter and everywhere else. And okay. Google Plus, I'm actually Melissa Davis. But you can find me there too.
You can get Adam Christensen at the MacCast, and it's one of the seminal Mac podcasts that you need to have if you're a new Mac user, at MacCast on Twitter. You can get Jeff Gamet at the MacObserver.com, and he's the managing editor there, and you can get all of his knowledge of Mac, which is significant there as well as, and you can get Kelly at Verso on Twitter, and she's at the Mac Observer as well as too, and Jeff is at J Gamet on Twitter, at J Gamet on Twitter. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and you can get me here every week, but not next week. There won't be a Mac Show next week, I'm afraid, because I've got too much to do, but we'll be back the following week as normal, and Wrighty's taking over the big show, so that should be good. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Ewan.